Thank you for joining us today. For more information about the church, campus locations, service times, and more, visit ecoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at ecoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Amen. You may find your way back to your seats. Hey, take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We will back up to get the last part of chapter 12. And then read the first few verses down to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Chapter 12, verse 31, the second part of verse 31 says, "But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Let me show you a more perfect way," Paul says. "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all the great or God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong." Not irritable. Can somebody say amen? Amen. "It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you open our hearts to receive, and Lord, give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Lord, help us to approach this chapter that is familiar to many. God, help us to approach it, God, with fresh eyes and to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is the famous love chapter. It is probably one of the most well-known chapters in the entire Bible. And it's probably the best known passage in Paul's letters. This, of course, is due in large part to the fact that many Christian weddings include a reading from this passage. And given that particular exposure, many Christians assume the chapter is primarily about love between a man and a woman, and that it was written to provide guidance and insight for married couples. And it is perfectly appropriate, of course, for married couples to learn how to love each other better through the reading and the study of this passage, even if its original and primary purpose was somewhat different. For you see, the chapter is primarily about living in Christian community in a way that glorifies God. And that is by learning to treat other members of Christ's body the way that God has treated us, with self-sacrificing, other-oriented love. So we're going to talk about this love chapter, if you would. But I need you to take your preconceived ideas off and really understand the context. Yes, we hear this scripture read at weddings and things such as that. And it's appropriate. It's good. But sometimes, because of the familiarity in that context, we just assume when we read it that it's talking about marriage. But I remind you what we come out of in chapter 12, and it's about the gifts operating within the church. It's about the community of the body of believers. And Paul is addressing the Corinthian church concerning some jealousies and envies and competition and different things that was happening that was causing division. And Paul was addressing those things and bringing correction as an apostle and as a pastor teacher to lead them into a greater, richer, fuller knowledge of really what it means to be Christian and how we're to love one another and put others' needs before our own. So I want to talk about how love exceeds. See, love makes believers' actions and gifts useful. If you take love out of the equation, suddenly your works become just static. You take love out of the equation, and suddenly your gifts become something more about self-glorification than it does about edification of the body. Of believers. So love is very important. Spiritual gifts, no matter how exciting and wonderful, are useless and even destructive if they're not ministered in biblical agape love. They can become destructive. They can become abusive in nature because we use them as tools. We use them as little pricks to get at one another. And that's not what love is. It was happening in the Corinthian church, and Paul was bringing correction to their worship order. He was bringing correction to some error within the body. So as you look in all three of the body passages in Paul's letters, there's an emphasis on love. As you look at Corinthians, you'll see that Paul emphasizes love. If you feel convicted not to eat meat that was sold in the marketplace, then don't look down at him who feels a liberty to do that. Let love be your guide. And now he carries this over when he's talking about the spiritual gifts. The main evidence of maturity in Christian life is a life growing in their love for God, a love for God's people, and as well as a love for the lost. How do you know when somebody's really maturing in their faith, really growing in their relationship? Their love for God is getting stronger. But it's not just love for God. How can you love God and not love your brothers and sisters? And then really, how can you truly love God and not have a love for the lost? That you realize that if they die without knowing Christ, they will perish in eternity. And you have an intense longing and desire that, and a love for people you've never met, but you want them to hear the gospel of Christ as a sign of growing in your walk with the Lord. It has well been said that love is the circulatory system of the body of Christ. And is it not? Love is really the circulatory system of the body of Christ. Now, the word for love that Paul is using here in the original, the Greek, is agape love. And the Greeks had different words that describe different kinds of love. And the word agape speaks of a deep, abiding, self-sacrificing love. The kind that looks out for the other person first. A little bit different than what we call love today. That looks out for oneself. That looks out for one's self-interest. See, biblical agape love puts others before themselves. By its very nature, it's sacrificing. And biblical agape love also has a side to it, that it loves you enough to say, hey, you're wrong, but I'm going to love you through it, and God's got something better for you. See, true biblical agape love has a corrective nature to it. This love that the world has defined is a love that accepts any and all things at all times. But too many people are loving others straight to hell. When you need to have biblical agape love that's going to love them out of the bondage and into the freedom that's found in Christ Jesus. So God requires that his people, the church, to have agape love one for the other. Turn real quick to 1 Thessalonians, and you'll find this ideal of love, agape love, throughout the New Testament, throughout the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Instead, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. So he's talking to the believers in Thessalonica, and he says, hey, you're showing love for the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Say, hey, you're doing a good job loving, but don't stop. Love even more. And that's the message for the church today is, hey, you're loving, but don't stop. Keep loving even more. Keep growing in your love. Keep maturing in your love. So in order to show the superiority of love, Paul gives a list of some possibilities. And it's important to remember the context of chapter 13. Paul is dealing with some prideful issues in the church at Corinth. Pride that was leading to divisions in the church, a lack of holiness among some in the church. And Paul is describing a more excellent way. Now, you'll notice in the first few verses that Paul lists some hypothetical situations. If I could speak all languages of earth, if I knew several languages, many languages, if I knew the languages not only of earth, but if I could speak the language of the angels, that's a pretty high, tall order. He says, if I could. And then he said, if I had the gift of prophecy, and we know that prophecy is a good thing, a word of encouragement. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood God's secret plan, if I understood all the mysteries, that's a pretty tall order. Yeah. If I possessed not just knowledge, but the New Living says, if I possessed all knowledge, if I possessed spiritual knowledge, if I possessed understanding, if I had such faith that I can move mountains, man, we would say, man, look at that person. They're strong in faith. Man, they can believe God for the impossible, and it happens. Paul then says, hypothetically, if I gave my money, everything I had, to the poor. And we might say, man, that's a godly person. That's really, man, that's a mature believer. Another hypothetical was, if I sacrificed my body, physically laid my body down. Notice what Paul says. Works and acts of service without biblical agape love is nothing. He gives this hypothetical situations, and he says, if I could do all these things, and these are things that we would characterize as, wow, these are spiritual things. But Paul says, if it doesn't come from a place of love, it's nothing. If I did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, noise without substance. background noise, a nuisance. You know, the older I get and the more background noise there is, the more nuisance it becomes, right? He said, I would be nothing. I would be like a hologram. It looks good. It shows the picture. It shows the stature. It gets the right dimensions, but it's empty. It portrays one thing, but there's no substance. It would be like a shadow. Paul says, I would have gained nothing. There would be no progress. There'd be no moving forward. All of these things, these gifts, these acts alone would not make one acceptable before God. See, God measures things differently than you and I measure things. I mean, you know that from biblical literature. You know that from the Word of God, that God looks beyond the outward into the heart. God knows if what we're doing is flowing from a place of love or if it's flowing from a place of show. And Paul says, Corinthian church, you are very gifted. I mean, you got a lot of gifts and there are a lot of wonderful things, but listen, the gifts mean nothing if you don't love one another. If you don't have and show this biblical agape love. Let's put this in the words of Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 7, the words of Jesus are like this in verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So Jesus said, listen, there cannot be a disconnection between profession and action. The two have to go together. So not everybody who says, oh, I believe, oh, yes, I'm saying, oh, yes, I know who Jesus is. Not everybody who says that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. The qualifying phrase is those who do the will of the Father. Now, in verse 22, listen to what Jesus said. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. So there was demonstration. There was gifting, but Jesus said, I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Paul says, you can speak with all the languages of the earth. You can speak the language of the angels. But if you don't have love, it's just like a clanging cymbal. You can prophesy. You can say, I've got a word from the Lord. I've heard God speak. But if you don't love, you can have faith to move mountains, see great things happen, believe for the impossible. But if you don't get this thing called love right, see, the Corinthian church was a spirit-filled church. The Corinthian church was a gifted church, but there were abuses and there were divisions and there were challenges. There was self-promotion. They were more interested in themselves and not others. And Paul says, you're missing everything. You're missing the main part, the main ingredient. You ever went to cook some chocolate chip cookies and, I mean, you just can't wait till they get out of the oven and you turn the light on and those things are not cooking right. They don't taste right because you left out a main ingredient. How often Does it seem to be right? Does it seem to look right? But then you realize the main ingredient isn't there. So let's talk about what love is. Paul goes on, he begins to describe, he begins to give a definition what love is. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So as Paul begins to give a description of this biblical agape love, he starts off with some positives. He says, listen, love is patient. And because love is so important among the believers, Paul went on to describe this love in more detail. Patient. The expression, the word patient, is the opposite of being short-tempered. It is being even-tempered while enduring trying circumstances. You ever been around a short-tempered person? You just don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Short-tempered. Love is patient. Now, all of us can identify with this because all of us at one time in our life have been short-tempered. We've allowed something to get us. Maybe it's built up and built up, and finally it's like, whoo, out of left field. It's like, where'd that come from? Love is patient. The ability to endure trying circumstances. That word means suffers long. The Corinthians, though gifted, were impatient with each other, and Paul says it should not be so. Wives, this is a great word to give to your husband. Husband, the word says you got to be patient. Husbands is a great word to remind your wife. Wife, the word says you got to be patient with me. You know, throughout Scripture, there's many places that we're called upon to be patient. Let me give you a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. So he's challenging them, live a life that's worthy to your profession. Hey, you've been called, so live up to that calling. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Quit expecting perfection out of others when you yourself are not perfect. Amen? Have you ever noticed that we sometimes want perfection from somebody else, but when it comes to our life, it's like, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. We'll go over to a couple more books, to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. Well, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and there it is, patience. Clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves with patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Then go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And we all can cheer that on. Hey, you who are lazy, get up. Those who are a little fearful, hey, be strong in the Lord. We're good with that. But this is where we stumble. Paul says, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What does patient love among believers look like? Such love bears with certain annoyances and inconveniences without complaint. If you're giving over to much complaint, it may not be the complaint the issue. It could be the patient is the issue, patience. So the complaining may be the symptom. The root may be, Lord, I've got to learn how to develop this thing called patient endurance in my life. Such love does not lose its temper when provoked. And how many know the world is going to provoke you? And when you lose your temper because the world's provoked you, sometimes you lose your testimony. Patient endurance. Such love steadily perseveres. See, without love, no matter how wonderful the gifts in the church are, if you are impatient with one another, short-tempered and irritable, then the gifts are not operating as God intended them to be. Quick, let's get another description tonight. Let's look at kind. This love is also kind. That word kind in the original means to be gentle, to be or become warm-hearted, considerate, humane, gentle, sympathetic. We need to be sympathetic with each other, amen? It means to act kindly, to be kind. It talks about kindness, to be merciful. See, kindness takes the initiative in responding generously to others' needs. See, we are who we are and where we are because of the kindness of God. There's a little book right before you get the book of Hebrews, Titus chapter 3. In the book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, it says this, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because we deserved it, but because of his good nature toward us. Because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, given us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Holy Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You have a generous helping of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Guess what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's patience, it's kindness. What love is, see, you have a generous supply of the Spirit of God. He's poured the Spirit out. So we can love this way. We can serve in such a way that it's not just a hologram, it's not just the shadow, but it's the substance of. He generously poured out the Holy Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. See, believers have received kindness and they ought to act with kindness toward others. How does kind love look among believers? Such love is considerate and helpful to others. Kind love is gentle and mild, always ready to show compassion, especially to those in need. See, kindness takes many forms. In general, it is soft and gentle. Now, let's look at some of the negative or the not positive, the negative sides of how he describes love. He says, hey, it's not jealous. In the context of the gifts, it's not envious of other successes. It's not comparative in nature. And that was the problem in the Corinthian church. They were comparing. Well, I speak in tongues and I have tongues. And oh, I have the gift of prophecy. And it was a boastful. And there was jealousy. See, jealousy wants something that somebody has. Let me tell you what happens when you get jealous and you want what somebody else has that you don't. You'll find yourself trying to sabotage to get what they got. And the body of Christ begins to be torn down. See, true biblical love is this. It's love, it's patient, it's kind. It's not jealous. It's applauding the others. It's excited in the success of others. It's the exciting to see people being used and growing in that relationship, in those gifts. It's not boastful. It does not think of itself more than it should. It does not have an overstatement of their own sense of value. Doesn't think of more of themselves than they should. Sometimes what happens is we think more of ourselves at the expense of someone else. He says, love is not proud. To be proud is to be overly self-confident or insubordinate to God and others. It's not rude. The word translated rude refers to actions that are improper. It's also translated as love does not behave in an unseemly way. And it means that love does not behave impolitely, discourteously, or crudely. Believers who use their gifts with love will be careful to act in a manner worthy of their calling before God. They'll never seek to humiliate others. And that may have been some of the problem in the church of Corinth, especially in their worship service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you back up a couple of chapters, Paul was dealing with the church really abusing the Lord's table. The ones who were more well-to-do and they were enjoying a fellowship meal together, they would hurry and eat and not leave anything for those who were serving. And then those who had less means were left with nothing. In essence, Paul was saying, where's the love in that? Where is the love in that? See, true biblical agape love is kind. It's patient. It is not rude. And it's not proud. And it does not demand its own way. See, people who are self-seeking always want their own way. They're selfish, self-centered, wanting what they want when they want it, and think it's the best for them. But that's the opposite of love. Because agape love looks out for others. It seeks the best interest and willingly gives up its own right for the sake of others. And I don't know about you, church, but that's the way that I want to live. That's the way that I want to love. That's the way that I want, as God is using me in the gifts, and as God is using you in the gifts, that we want to encourage one another. It's not a competition. Oh, look what gift I have. Oh, look where I serve. Look where you serve. It's not a competition. It's not about jealousy. And listen, it's not rude. It's not trying to find that gotcha moment in somebody to expose them and to be negative toward them. It really is to help each one become who God's called them to be. It's for the edification of the body of Christ. So we can have all these accolades. We can have that faith that moves mountains. We can possess knowledge and we can know the mysteries of God. But if you don't have love, it's just a clanging, noisy symbol. It's just a hologram where there's no substance. God is looking for for substance. And church, I want substance. Amen.